Turn with me this morning, 25th chapter of Book of Exodus. Take a few thoughts here, kind of jumping off place. Exodus 25. Yeah, I got up the other day all stiff, and couldn't hardly move, and I said, I sure hope this isn't old age setting in. We're all getting old.
Brother Jason, I went out and got me a bottle of those B12s that you were sharing with boys. I feel like I'm coming in
for it. Well, good. I keep them sitting there. I don't know if they're doing any good or not. I take one, make me feel better.
Well,
I took something. Yeah. I'd like to read a few verses here, beginning in verse 31. It said, "Thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall a candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches and his bowls and his knobs and his flowers shall be of the same." Just one big hunk of gold. Isn't that something? I don't know how much that'd be worth today. Several pounds of it. And they're going to beat it out and make it, this whole thing, out of one hunk of gold. I thought about this a little bit, and here's a great contrast here between this work and the work of the Israelite people. When Moses was up in the mountain, he come down, they had made a golden calf. They did out of gold too, took all the jewelry that they had and cast it in a calf. But they cast it. Wasn't any work in it. But this is much different in that it is much work in it. And it was absolutely impossible, I believe, to make this piece except the Lord give people the ability to make it. And then it said, "And the six branches, and six branches shall come out of the side of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side." So we got three over here and three over here. One in the middle, which made seven. And these three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knob and a flower and one branch. And then I thought on this also about Aaron's rod that budded, and it bloomed, and it brought forth fruit. And I believe that and this are both symbolic of the same thing, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was put to death. He rose again unto life. And he brought forth much fruit. And said, "In the three bowls made like almonds, in the other branch with a knob and a flower, so in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knobs and their flowers. And there shall be a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same." Each knob, each branch is going to have these knobs according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knobs and their branches shall be of the same. All, it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snip dishes thereof shall be of pure gold, of a talent. Of pure gold shall ye make it, and all these vessels. And look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. So first place, it had to be exact. It couldn't be any other way. His way of the word of the Lord also it is exact. It's pure. But this candlestick, what brought me here originally kind of thinking about this again was, I don't know if it's, I just had overlooked it or it's got more popular when we have some tragedy to go to gathering up the candles and go to burning candles. Well, I don't know a lot about that. But I looked into some of it, and I'm told that it's to help their prayer, the candlelight. But I'm of the opinion that it takes away from the true symbol. All that's burning the candles is just pomp and ceremony. And the ceremony wasn't the point, but the candlestick was. The candlestick itself presented a whole different subject. And the subject it was presenting was Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we see that in these almond knobs and blooms and fountains. We have many places back this up that it was most important piece. It wasn't just something to look at. It was something that gave the priest light. When they went into the most holy place, it was a thing to give them light. If they went in there and go offer up sacrifices in this dark place, it'd just be pandemonium in there. But the candlestick was to give the priest light. And this light of this candlestick was symbolic of the word itself that was to come and bring forth fruit. Over in the book of Zechariah, the 4th chapter, we have a few words about this. And in verse 1, it said that an angel that talked with me came again and walked with me as a man that waketh out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold. It was pure. Wasn't anything else in it. With a bowl upon the top of it, and seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it. This is something added here to what we just read. And we got two olive trees. It's going to feed this oil to this lamp, that it burn forever and forever. and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And how can we know? Unless we be told of the Holy Spirit, even now. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord. Now, we've got the word of the Lord in the candlestick. Word of the Lord is light, always represented as the light. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, By might, not by might, nor by power, but by spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So, we've got a little thing going on here. Nowadays, if we want to teach it, it is by your might. It's by what you do. You add a little something to it. But the lamp, the light, didn't say that at all. It said, lean up on thy God. Look unto him, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. It's not by your might, not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. This thing has been bent so out of shape, the light has bent, until it's hardly visible anymore. It's just been trodden underfoot. And I feel that that's a whole lot of what's going on today with all this candle lighting and all this fury and distrust, if you may. Just they're trying to do something, but their thoughts are in the wrong place. Their thoughts are in what they're doing in the ceremony of it. Certainly this light was given in ceremony, but it was also in a dark place. And the darkness has covered our land. And the lampstand is almost gone out. It's hard to see. Of course, the Lord's always been in a dark place. That's what the most holy place represents, is a place of darkness. And dimness and shadows until the Lord himself come. In the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter, then, I said the other day that I didn't have any new thing. This is all old stuff since before the foundation of the world again. It's been Isaiah 60 in verse 1, he said, Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Prophecy of the Lord's resurrection. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where the glory is, and this is where the light is. And that's what the candelabra was always representing, was the light that was in Jesus Christ that was coming into the world, who would be the light of men. They turned it down. They refused it for the most part. But the light was there. John the Baptist came upon the scene. You know what? He was prophesying the coming of the light. The Lord said, as long as I'm with you, I am the light. So look unto the light. And then in verse 3 it said, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy righteousness. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all that gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear. This when the light is come. Not necessarily into the world, but into the heart, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of Gentiles shall come unto thee. Out of all the masses of people, it's talking about the sea. It's going to draw people to it. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Sometimes that all doesn't mean all. All that will come shall be saved. But they're coming in great numbers, as many as the sand of the sea. They're coming. In the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter. In verse 5, I guess, and it said, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorified in their eyes, in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Not by your might or your strength that this will be done. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant. This is just the beginning. That's what he's telling. It's just the beginning. It's a light thing that you'd be the servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. And he's going to add to it, and I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. Now, it's expanding here to the whole world, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despises, to him whom man despised, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princesses also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. So we're back to a remnant. And he shall choose thee. You can't get it much better than that. It was always limited in that only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies where the lamp, where the light was, and offer up the sacrifice that would be acceptable unto the Lord. So we have our Lord that has entered into the most holy place where the light is. He had to learn also. But he entered in where the light is, and then at a certain point in time at his death, the curtain that divided the two spaces was rent from top to bottom. And the light was more fully seen. In the last days, he has spoken unto us by Jesus Christ. And the veil was rent from top to bottom. And the division was removed. And the light was shining forth. Now the problem is men love darkness rather than light. In the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, I guess in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. Now, he didn't say they was in darkness. He said you were sometime darkness. There wasn't any light in you. You were darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what's been set forth in the Lord himself, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And I'm going to make the people the light. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. For all things are reproved that are reproved or made manifest by the light. That's always been the case. Even with the priest, when they entered in, it was to the light. Always looking for the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we're always looking to the light. The light that shines in a dark place. That old tabernacle was a mysterious thing to most people, even to the Jewish people. They got caught up in the same old thing, the ceremony. It was all in the ceremony, all in the lighting of another candle, all in the doing of something else. Lord never was pleased with the sacrifices of bulls and goats. But he was pleased in Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world.